He's going to share with you the work that they're doing with their, I don't know exactly what all he shared, but they're doing a lot of work in Quito. And we're so glad to know this good brother and this sister. We're so glad to be in partnership with them. And you know this is important, 4 points, because this is only the second time we've ever let someone from outside our church come in and share this pulpit. The only other person that's ever been able to do that was Dr. Ayu Adewoye. Most of you remember him. You couldn't understand a thing he said because of his thick Nigerian accent. But he's a New Testament scholar, beautiful man. So Steve is the second. My dad has not even preached here, Steve. So we just love this family so much, and it is a joy and an honor. And Steve, before I ask you to come up, Sandy, would you just stand up so everybody can get a look at you? All our ladies know you and love you already. Go ahead, stand up, give her a hand. She's going to be speaking at Conversations tonight, and if you're a woman in this room and you went to the ladies' retreat, all I have heard about from that retreat is just the beauty of how God used you, worked through you, spoke through you. We're so thankful for you, Sandy. And we know that Steve's only as good as he is because of you. All right? We know that. We know that. Steve, would you please come up? Go ahead, clap for this guy. I love you so much.
To hear God's work. Well, this is awesome. It's really a blessing. Like Brent was saying, when we first met each other, we just began to compare notes and just saw how God had really, truly connected our hearts together and come from some similar backgrounds and have had some similar journeys. And Jesus just has a way of bringing those kind of people together and seeing His glory manifested. It's an absolute blessing for me to be here. Thank you for treating my wife so well here a few weeks ago as she was here sharing with your women. I am probably known to most of you just as Sandy's husband, so that's fine with me. She preached or taught me the passages that she was going to go over, and I know what you got. I know how much that the Lord had really impressed on her heart for what she gave you, so it's a real blessing. I also just want to say a huge thank you to you. Your church has been a part of our ministry, and we've been blessed tremendously by your support and by your prayers and by the teams that have come and blessed our church in Quito as well as helped us out on our property. We just are extremely thankful for a partnership that's heart and soul and strength and sweat and all the stuff that you guys have put into that. So please just hear from us that our sincere gratitude for all that you're doing and all that you've done. I want to show you just a real quick little video this morning. It's one little aspect of what La Fuente and Compassion Connection, that's our stateside name, is about. And it talks about training. We're actually our ministry focuses on planting churches, training pastors and leaders, and also on the idea of restoring community. And that is that the gospel would go the full measure, not only bringing people into relationship with God, but restoring them in relationship with one another and restoring them in the areas and whatever ways that He needs to lift them up to allow His gospel and glory to shine through their lives. So this is just a little piece on the aspect of training that we want to show you this morning. Our heart is to not only plant churches that are healthy churches, but through those churches also give training to other church planters, pastors, leaders within the congregation. It's only 17% of the pastors here have any kind of formal training at all. Instituto de la Fuente started this last fall. It will in turn begin to spread and start institutes in other areas of this country to help train in theology and ministry and biblical studies. To do that in Ecuador, at least, we're talking about two different cultures. One is an urban culture that really has more education, more literacy, a lot of better understanding of some of the concepts that are taught in typical Western settings. The other part of Ecuador has more village and rural indigenous people groups that have a different learning style and require teachers that understand that and can communicate those things. That is what this training center is going to focus a lot on right here in Lasso. It's very central to all of Ecuador and very accessible to those who would be coming from rural, village, or indigenous areas.
Okay, se me preguntó sobre cómo el instituto ha impactado mi vida. Y principalmente desde que me entregaron el material del instituto, los libros, y poder leerlos me impactó mucho. Y pude compartir eso con mis papás sobre nuevas cosas que aprendí sobre Jesús, nuevas cosas que aprendí sobre la palabra, sobre la naturaleza del Padre, el pecado. Y me fue limpiando el corazón y me fue dando mucho más esperanza. También como profesor pude compartir con mis alumnos, que son niños pequeñitos, pero también con los grandes de la universidad, y poderles decir de manera sencilla, presentarles qué es el Evangelio, quién es Jesús, porque muchas veces la teología suena como algo bastante complejo, pero puede ser algo sencillo cuando es inspirado y entregado con el Espíritu Santo y con el ejemplo de Jesús. Estoy muy agradecido y quiero darle la gloria a Dios por eso, por mi impacto en mi familia, en mis amigos y también en mi corazón.
Y ha sido una gran bendición para mí el crecer estos 3 años en Cristo y su palabra. La fuente, especialmente por Steve, ha sido un proceso bueno en mi vida. Fue un impacto el ver que pastores no están únicamente desde el púlpito, sino integrándose a la vida de las personas, y eso es lo que pasó conmigo. Steve se involucró tanto en mi vida que me asustaba, y fue bueno. Fue muchas veces la vergüenza y el pecado saliendo, pero para crecer en Cristo, y eso ha sido tan maravilloso para mí, el poder ver el Evangelio de una forma diferente, ver realmente el poder del Evangelio creciendo en mi vida. Este tiempo he visto también la necesidad de estudiar la palabra, porque como nos han dicho aquí en La Fuente, que deberíamos estudiar la palabra, como que la vida depende de eso, porque depende. Y he visto que Dios ha puesto un amor a su palabra y al servicio en la iglesia. Entonces es algo que estoy en un proceso de aprender, cómo servir, cómo aprender la palabra, y me emociona realmente esto.
Yeah, those young men there are a couple of the young guys that we're looking at as for future. As far as the last guy there, he's on his track to be, Lord willing, one of the elders, planters in our local church there, as well as sending him out to see him start a church outside of the city area that we're in. I was super excited when Brent let me know that you guys are in Mark and that this particular parable is the one that kind of everything landed on. So we're just going to go there. And I just have to tell you, I already know that you have got a rock star pastor as far as preaching the word. It's and so when you listen to General Eisenhower every Sunday, it's actually good to hear Gomer Pyle get up here once in a while and just remind you how good you have it. So we're in Mark 4. Let's go. And again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In a real way, you can say there's this parable has got three things that are constant, and then it's got four variables. The three things that are constant are the seed, this act of sowing, and the sower. And the things that are variable here are the soils. You've got soils that are just hard, and it just never penetrate. The seed never penetrates. You've got soils that are that receive the seed, but on a very superficial level, and immediately it withers away when the sun comes out. And then you have the seed that falls among the thorns. Thorns choke it out. And finally, you have this soil that is the soil that receives it and produces fruit. In some way, you can say that the ministry that we've been involved with since 1997 in Latin America, first in Mexico and in Ecuador, has been very focused on those three constants. The seed, making sure, and teaching and training and making sure that there's good seed. Because there's a lot of seeds that are weeds, but we're going to call it weed seeds, that are out there, and Latin America has had a lot of that, and to be honest, and has produced a lot of things. When you have 83 out of 100 pastors that have no form of biblical training, and you have numbers of evangelical churches after so many years, that begins to produce a lot of stuff that I'm sure some of you even here today understand a little bit about how difficult it is when the seed itself is not good seed. So we focus a lot on the seed, giving them a good sense of what the gospel is, good sense of what Jesus Christ came to do, what he's all about, what he's not about, and being able to see that come about. The second thing that we focus a lot on is this idea of sowing, the idea of how you communicate that. How does that get shared? What has God done? What's his plan for sharing this kind of thing? Sowing that word, which we see in this passage later on, that the seed is the word of God. So sowing that word in such a way that it has every possibility of producing fruit. And so we train guys not only in what the seed is, but in how to sow it. And God's plan to actually plant churches to do that, which is just, if you look at the way Acts kind of just evolves, it's like this explosive thing when the seed gets planted and it gets watered and God begins to produce this fruit, then God just seems to put it all over the place through planting churches. He just plants all these churches in which the word just keeps spreading and spreading. And finally, this idea of the sowers themselves, and that God intends for us to have a lifestyle that is able to not only sow, proclaim, but to back that up with a life that's been transformed ourselves. And we talk a lot about the character and the lifestyle of a person that's able to back up everything that they say because Jesus is working in their life. Jesus, it's not that we're perfect, it's that we're authentic. We're authentic followers of Jesus Christ. He's our everything. And so that's really in a nutshell of everything that we're trying to do. And we're praying then that we, as we send them out, the thing that we can't control, the thing that we don't know is the soils that they're going to encounter, but we can pray and we can ask God that he would do his work in the soils that are around us to produce that kind of fruit for his kingdom. Now, how many have been around church more than a few years? Okay, all right. So how many are familiar with this parable already? Yeah. So a lot of us will get to this, we'll hear this parable, and we kind of like, okay, I got this one. I know this one. I've been here. This I've got it down. I know what the seed is. I know what's sore. All that stuff. This is an interesting parable to me. I love this parable because it speaks to passions that I live for. Okay, so, but it starts, the parable starts by Jesus saying, listen. And the parable ends by him saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And how many married guys? This church is full of married and actually a lot of kids. And from what I saw, I went to a baby shower yesterday. It looks like this is never going to end. I mean, you've got, from what I could see, there was a lot of little bumps or bumps on these ladies that looks like we're going to have a steady stream of baby dedications, Brent, I think. But anyway, this idea here of being able to, when you're married, how many married people we got? Okay. You guys, I'm going to talk to the guys. How many know that there's a difference between hearing and listening? Okay. Yeah. The Charlie Brown. Remember the Charlie Brown cartoon thing with the teacher's voice? Ah, there you go. Wah 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 wah. And so there's been many times, I hate to say it, where I've been in the same room, in a place in very close distance, and there's been talking, and I have can hear that there's talking, and then all of a sudden, you know, Sandy will say something like, and the house is on fire and the children are all, you know, burning up, and then I okay, I just all of a sudden realized I was going from hearing and I had not been listening. And I'm looking at this parable and I'm seeing Jesus starts us off by saying, listen. And then he ends it by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so really this parable has everything to do with listening. It's how you receive the seed, and the reality is here today, probably some of you are here and you represent all four of these kind of these soils. And at different times of your life, you probably had times where your heart represented all four of these. I know it's true for me. There are many times where my soil was so hard, I didn't want to hear anything. Talk to the hand. That's a very old, I know I'm... I've been out of the country for a while, so just help. You know, just have to forgive me. Okay. Others of you are here, or you've been like me in my past, where there is this. You just want to feel good about something, and you're here. Some of you maybe even come to church to get your emotional fix, your emotional high. You're not really interested in something that penetrates down deep, that goes way down deep in your life, that ends up producing fruit in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, or wherever it is you find yourself. You're not really interested in that. What you're interested in is feeling good. And so you come Sunday after Sunday, and Brent does his thing, and you walk away, and you go, hey, man, that was awesome. But come Tuesday, Wednesday, because it never got down deep enough, struggles come, and everything starts fading away. I know what that's like. And some of you are here, and you're having everything you can do to listen, because I don't normally walk around with a microphone on me, but if you're behind these ears, there's actually some hearing aids, and it's because I've had kind of early problems with my hearing, and if I'm in a room, where there is a lot of background noise. Anybody else have this problem? Please, somebody raise your hand. Okay, good, good. Okay, good. Thank you. Make me feel better. Any of that white noise, any of that background noise, I have a huge problem being able to really distinguish what somebody's saying. And many of you are here, and you come into this place on Sundays, and you're hearing the word, but you also have this like huge amount of background noise of worry, of stress, whether it be financial, whether it be relational, whether it be kids, whether it be whatever it may be that is just pressing in and wanting to take that away. And that is the reality that many of us walk in. And some of you are here. And Lord willing, we can all begin to practice asking Jesus before we ever get here on Sunday, Lord, I don't want that. I want to land in that last category. I want that word to come in and penetrate my life. That I could be someone that it, as I go out from this place, it begins to bear fruit. I begin to be a person that's able to bear fruit. And I can even bear fruit to the place where I start sowing and I become part of this whole process. And so I just want to challenge us today. And my prayer is that as we just talk a little bit about these three constants, that God will allow our hearts, our minds to just have that posture. Jesus, let it go down deep. Let it go down deep into my life today. The first one, the first constant that we see here is the seed. This book of Mark starts off with saying this is the gospel of Jesus Christ and immediately goes into John the Baptist preaching. This idea of a word that is being preached. He goes from there. You have Jesus. It starts off in the very first verse. He's by the seaside. This is the third time he's done this. His whole ministry is about teaching and preaching about the word, sowing the word. I have come to believe, I just turned 58 in March, and after 40 years of walking with Jesus as an adult, after almost all of 30-some years of being in full-time ministry, whether in the States or in mission work, I am more convinced than ever of the power that this word has in our lives. And it's not simply because of stuff I get to see out here or in Ecuador. It's because of what's going on inside of me. It's because of, you know, after this many years, God is still just doing all kinds of work in my life. A number of years ago, we made a strategic decision in Ecuador to move from a ministry that was primarily about Bible schools and Bible training to plant a church called La Fuente. And in that, part of the reason for that was because we had seen over the years in working in Mexico and Ecuador, we had seen things that were really faulty, areas in which the gospel was not yet penetrating, cultural sins and things that were happening there. And so we decided, let's plant a church that's going to be a model church, and we're just going to attack these problems. And we're going to really see these people change. Yeah, you know what's coming, don't you? Well, we start in on dealing with issues. Let's just pick one. Machismo. It's a huge issue in Latin America. Men only seeing women as objects. And God, in order for me to be able to convey anything out to this, to these people that God had put and trusted in our lives, and these young men like these guys you see up here, He first had to deal with those areas in my own life, those areas in which I realized I had not been investing in treating my own wife like he really desired for me to do. And he took his word to do that and just put it right in front of me as a way to penetrate my heart and my life. And I began to see how big my own ego has been and how big my own pride has been and just how much God needed to work in me. And it's a beautiful process. How many have been in that process? It's hard good. Right? It's hard good. It's something that Jesus does, and he continues to do. This book is all about God speaking. Genesis 1 starts this whole thing off. Genesis 1 starts off, and if you don't have a Bible with you, just listen up. You guys know this. Most of you know this already, but it starts out, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Oh, you guys are so quick. Man, that's awesome. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." There's this picture of the beginning of creation in which this we don't know for sure all of what's going on there, but what we do know is this term "without form and void" has this idea of chaos, disorder, emptiness, and darkness. It says darkness over everything. This picture of a chaotic, disorderly, just empty wilderness kind of feel, dark. And God's answer to that is verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And boom, light came into being. And if you just follow the account down, you begin to see where there was disorder, God put into order. And where there was chaos, God began to just made shape and form and filled the skies. And where there was emptiness, he filled it. He filled the skies, he filled the earth. And he filled it all up. And he took away the darkness. And then he creates man in his image, and it's a beautiful picture. It's like the pinnacle of what God intended to do, and created man in his image, and man was enjoying the beauty of this creation because God spoke, and he kept speaking, and he kept speaking, and he kept speaking, and as he kept speaking, he brought order and he brought light. But man, obviously, Genesis 3, we arrive at Genesis 3, and we got another picture. Satan comes in, he tempts, man falls, and we've got darkness, chaos, disorder, emptiness again. And in that place, even in the place in where there's judgment and justice being meted out, God is promising one day in Genesis 3:15, one day there's going to come from this seed of a woman, there's going to come one who is going to crush the head of Satan, the head of the serpent. And this word that he spoke, this promise that he spoke, if you just kind of follow out the Old Testament, you'll see it gets echoed and it gets brought over and over again. And you have John 1. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." You guys are so good. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This word that God spoke in the beginning to bring order out of chaos, to bring fullness out of emptiness, to bring light out of darkness, that same word we see in John 1 in the person of Jesus Christ. That same word is what we also, you and I, have come into faith with. Romans 10, 8 to 10, it says, "The word is near you, even in your mouth." That if you confess, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. It's this word of God that God spoke, and he keeps speaking. It's this powerful, powerful thing that we have, you and I have. And so often this becomes want, 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 want. And I pray that every one of you here will just begin to that God will just rekindle. If you have not had it, it's like, I don't know, do they still, how many remember this commercial? It was like a while ago. Tasting cornflakes for the first time. Tasting cornflakes again for the very first time. Nobody remembers it, okay. Well, back in my day. There is something about, there is something just incredible about falling in love with the Word all over again. Letting it be fresh to you every day of your life. Just fresh and new every day. And you can pray and say, God, let that be so in my life. The Word. We're watching this happen in Ecuador. I've got a guy that a lot of the Word that has been sown there has been a Word that is very, it's very legalistic. In the sense of it's all wrapped up with a bunch of rules, a bunch of hierarchy of spirituality, and you're not spiritual if this, and you're spiritual if that, and it's not liberating. It keeps people in chains. And it creates churches in which, as long as you have a good facade, a good spiritual facade, then you're somehow going to be, you are spiritual. And so people, depending on the brand, if you're more charismatic, as long as you can look more charismatic, you're more spiritual. You can jump higher or whatever it may be, you're more spiritual. If you're somewhere else, if it's another type of church, then it's how much you can talk the talk. It's how much you can have come out of your mouth that makes people think you're spiritual. But it creates a facade in which nobody can be honest. Nobody can be authentic. Nobody can actually deal with sin. The grace of God that is so powerful to break down sin. Am I allowed to do this? Okay. The grace of God that has the power to break sin never gets there because sin can never come to the light. And so I've been working with a guy over the last couple, 3 years that has been 50 years in evangelicalism. And has had a very sexually deviant behavior going on the whole time. And he's been in every kind of position except for pastor in the local churches. And he's just now understanding the power of this Word to break up the ground, to deal with these areas of his life, to set him free, really free. Because he can come out into the light. He can let Jesus' word speak light into his heart and life. Another young man that has been years in the street, his father actually, if this is going to sound absolutely warped, his father, just out of anger, actually infected his own son at a very young age with AIDS. And so he has one of the most horrific backgrounds. He's been on the street for many years. We're watching his beautiful, I wish I had time to show all the videos that we have, but we're watching this young man as he's come to us, and he's been in all these different churches, but he's right now, God, he's never actually made a confession of a commitment to Christ. And just this last December, he was baptized. He followed Christ. He's loving Jesus. And we're walking him through a study that we're calling Getting Rid of the Lies. And as Jesus just keeps walking in with his word, and he's understanding more and more freedom, more and more things that God is lifting him up and restoring him. Not only restoring him with God himself, but he's beginning to see his life take shape and bring order into the chaos that has been a part of his life. The word, the seed. This is such a powerful, powerful, powerful word. And it's this act of sowing, the second constant of this. The act of sowing, that God, his answer is this word, and this word that is proclaimed, this word that is put out there. And You know, there's a lot of voices out in the Christian world today. It's one of the things I know here in America that's a real tough deal, because a lot of the voices that are being heard are not reflecting really the purity and the beauty of what Jesus came to do. And so many of you who are sitting here and you are discovering how beautiful the work of God, the plan of God, the Word of God is, you're discovering it, but it's something that, because of all the other voices that are out there, many times we just kind of feel like we got to just keep quiet. It's a tough deal. We were just talking with Jason and Jennifer about this, and my kids who are up. My son is planting a church in Chicago, and they, you know, they run into the same thing. This process, yet I want to just challenge you with something, because this word is still super powerful. It's super powerful. And you know, he starts off, God himself speaks this word, and he brings order, and he brings fullness, and he brings light where there's darkness. And then he, even after man's sin, he keeps bringing this word back to people. He brings a promise to Abraham. He forms a people out of the Exodus that are all about the word. They literally were called the people of the book. They're about the word. And he keeps bringing prophets later on that kept trying to call them back to God, kept calling them back to God, and kept talking about this, it reminding them that there's this one who is going to save, that's going to deliver, is going to set things back in order. He's going to do everything that God has promised to do. You have this picture of this sowing process. You get to the Gospels and you see Jesus, his whole ministry, over and over again. He went everywhere preaching the gospel. He commissioned 70 and 72 to go out and preach the gospel. Share this word. Acts 1:8, he goes, as he's getting ready to leave, he says, "You will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth." And Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 2 comes, and there's this birth, this powerful birth of the church, in which the Holy Spirit comes and he fills everyone, and they begin to speak in another language, and those that were around there from all these different areas could hear this word in their own language. Because it was important. God wanted to get that out to them. And they're scratching their heads. This, what's going on here? And Peter stands up and he preaches the word. And 3,000 people begin this process of letting the light penetrate the darkness. Letting God's order reorder their lives. It's this beautiful, beautiful process that God has. You and I are here today because somebody did that. Is that true? You and I are here. Somewhere along the line, you may have grown up in a church and you may have listened to somebody preach all your life and it was wah, 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 wah. But all of a sudden, something happens. It's this beautiful thing of the way God does what he does. All of a sudden, one day, it goes from wah, wah, wah to this penetrating word that brings transformation into your life. And I grew up in a Christian family. There was a lot of, I would just say, there was a lot of good, but there was a lot of mixed bag in the kind of Christianity I grew up with. And there was definitely no room for guys like me that struggled. You know, I grew up in an atmosphere, people sometimes talk about eternal security. I felt like I grew up in an atmosphere of eternal insecurity. I was on a thread. I saw God as having huge, giant scissors. And I know that God loved me, but I had these huge giant scissors, and at any moment, if anything went wrong, he would take those scissors out and go, snip, and I'd be, wah, and that was the picture I had. And so when I got to my teenage years, and the evangelists would come, and they would do their they'd preach it hard and strong, and they would go for it, you know, and they'd you know, if Jesus were to come back today, and if any of you here even have a thought that is contrary to what God would want, you're going to hell. I'm 14 years old, or 13, 14 years old. The hormones have just kicked in. All he has to do is say, if any of you have a thought, and I'm going, oh, God. So at that point, I just, as a teenager, I just left it all. And I went hard and fast the other way. And I at 18 years of age, I wanted to get as far away from everything as I could. I had been living pretty crazy. We're talking 70s, you know, the early 70s. So some of you, any of you were around in the early 70s? Good, good. Well, a couple of you, okay. So I ran really hard in that direction. And I decided at that point, that I wanted to get away from everything that was home. And I wanted to go to California, where it sounded like you could just live how you want to. And I went to my best friend, and my best friend had had a very tragic life. His dad had left the family very early on. His mom had raised him, and she had just died about a month before that. And he was narcotraficante. He was the drug dealer in our school. And so I went to him that morning. He's my best buddy. We did a lot of stuff together. I says, let's get out of here. He had just been arrested for dealing drugs 2 weeks prior and was in the process of possibly being tried as an adult. And so it was very scary for him. So he just had this crazy, warped life. And I went to him. I says, hey, Dave, let's get out of here, man. Let's just go. I've got, you know, I don't remember, I probably had $20. I got $20. Let's go to California. You know, all these huge adult decisions. Anyway, so he looks up at me and he goes, bro, I don't know what the answer is for you, man. But last night, for the first time in my life, I found the answer. And he looks at me and he goes, it's Jesus, dude. Now, Jesus, dude, doesn't sound like believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But it penetrated me like a hammer. It was like God putting his finger right on my nose and saying, you can run, you can hide, you're never going to get away. I love you. Run as hard as you want. I will chase you down. And I left from that spot, and that word is Jesus, dude, penetrated me. I had known all of what God's word was. I had known it. I'd heard it as a kid. But at that moment in time, there was something that went down deep into my heart and penetrated my life. And Dave didn't know anything other than it's Jesus, dude. Just like the blind guy, I don't know anything. I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's a prophet. I don't know what he is. But I know this. I was blind, but now I see. And some of you are here, and you could share the exact same moment in time when something, when God's word penetrated, when it went from wah, wah, wah into something that penetrated your life, and then it all of a sudden, this word just starts jumping out, and I can't get enough of it. I want more of it. This is something that's life-giving. It's doing something in my life. It's producing change. And that leads us to this third point, the sowers. I'm here, you're here because someone sowed, a sower sowed. For me, it was a sower that had had less than 24 hours of even knowing what he had received. And he sowed that seed. And it produced fruit. I went from that moment and I went and repented before God, and just God entered my life. And for the last 40 years, I've been walking with Jesus. You see, this sower, God has constantly been pushing his people to be people who proclaim what he's all about. And the miracle of the gospel, the miracle of the gospel is that this word that brings transformation and the sower became one thing. Because this word that was in the beginning that spoke light into darkness and spoke order into chaos and spoke fullness into emptiness, this word, John 1:14 says, this word became flesh. And it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, that is incredible. This word that had been bringing, that brought order, light, fullness, became flesh. The guy that wrote this, the guy that wrote that in John 1:14, his name's John. He was one of the apostles. And before knowing Jesus, he was a fisherman. Now, I grew up in an area of Seattle in which there was a bunch of fishermen. And these guys were manly men. Now, I don't know, Da Vinci, you know, we had the whole Da Vinci Code thing. I can't help but think Da Vinci kind of got it wrong. I can't picture John just kind of this guy just sort of sweetly just. Now I know he leaned on his breast, but the picture just doesn't do it for me. Okay, just doesn't do it for me. I'm talking John. I mean, I'm around fishermen, brother. How tall are you?
6'1".
This guy's a big guy, man. I can see that. He's just like, this is what I think of when I think of fishermen, okay? This is what I think of when I think of fishermen. I grew up around these fishermen. They're just like these burly big dudes that just, you know, and you know, James and John were these two guys, too, that were walking along with Jesus, and Jesus is getting ready to stop into this Samaritan village, and the Samaritans say, no, we don't want you. And James and John answer to that is, hey, Jesus, and I'm going to put a little New York accent on it, but hey, Jesus, maybe it'd be better if we just call some fire out of heaven and torch these guys. Okay? That's what I think of when I think of fishermen. And Jesus hung out with him. The word became flesh and tabernacled is the idea. Just hung out with him to the point where he said, man, I saw God's glory. I saw it. I heard it. In 1 John, he says, I touched it. I felt it. You guys got to know this is so real. It's Jesus, dude. The word became flesh. The sower, the seed, came together in the person of Jesus Christ. And in John 12:24, he said, unless a seed be put into the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. But when it's put into the ground and it dies, it'll produce much fruit. And that seed, that word that became flesh, Jesus placed himself on that cross and he died so that you and I today are here as a result of the word made flesh that dwells among us still and is giving us life and is producing order where there's been chaos in our life and is producing light where there's been darkness and is producing a fullness where there's been emptiness, just like he was doing in David, just like he's been doing in my life, and just like he's doing here in Four Points Church. Amen. That's the beauty. And he calls us and he says, as the Father has sent me, John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so send I you. This treasure of this word made flesh, this treasure of God himself coming in form of man and dying and raising from the dead. Now, through the Holy Spirit, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that we can share. We can share it. And I want to challenge you as people that you would allow this word fresh and anew today. To just be that fresh word in your life. Just come to it on a daily basis. Say, Jesus, just talk to me today. Just, I want your word to just be alive to me today. Help me, God, to, as I embrace the word, as I study it, as I learn from it, let it be that thing that falls on good soil and produces change. Let it be something that I can share with others. Not because I'm better, but just simply because I'm one of those people that God's putting back together, that Jesus is putting light where there's been darkness. He's putting order where there's been chaos, and he's putting fullness where there's been emptiness, and I just want to share it because I love the people that God's placed around me. God's called us that in the same way that he has sent the Son, he sends us now into this world. So I just want to close this time. And Jesus, again, I pray that everyone that's here, God, those that are here that have had hard hearts, they came in with a hard heart. Jesus, may your word, may your spirit just open the heart up. Say, yes, Jesus, come in with that word. Let it bring life to me, bring order. For those that have come in and they've just been looking for an emotional fix, I pray today, God, that they would not leave just feeling good. They would leave, God, knowing the word is penetrated and is producing fruit. Give them a hunger for it like never before. And for my brothers and sisters that are here, God, that are just struggling to hear because of all the background noise, struggling to hear because of all the white noise of worry and finances and kids and the place of life and what am I going to do and what's going to happen. I pray, Jesus, that your word would just break the thorn, just cut the thorns away, and that it land on good soil. And I pray for transformed husbands and wives and families because of the word, because of the fruit of your kingdom that is being sown in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.